You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Big Mac. The job is his. The future is now. You'll hear the legendary coach explain his enormous decision. Then the pressure mounts on another young Bama quarterback. Why did Miami's coach say what he said yesterday? We've got the story. And are they making a mistake by the lake? Or when it comes to this QB question, is everyone else getting it wrong? We've got all the answers as we get up with you starting right now. And what a day it is going to be, filled with enormous news. Bill Belichick, as we speak, is explaining his decision of yesterday. You'll hear from him in just moments. Meanwhile, you'll hear from Sam Acho, who's here this morning. And look at the crew we've put together. Jeff Darlington is here. Mike Tannenbaum is here. And Patriots legend. They're chanting Teddy's name in the control room this morning as we will analyze the big decision Bill Belichick made. Here we go. For the first time, as I mentioned, Belichick is speaking. As we speak, talking about the decisions yesterday to release Cam Newton and name Mac Jones the Patriots' starting quarterback. Jones, terrific this preseason. 36 of 52, 389 yards, one touchdown, no picks, played 107 snaps. The team scored on every drive that he led. And Lewis Riddick, who understands this as well as anybody, tweeted yesterday, "I said this in the months leading up to the draft. There were some coaches that I totally respect that thought Mac was the best quarterback in this draft. Now, you can disagree, and many did and still do. But how he played is exactly how you should have expected he would play. This was quite the day, and let's get into it immediately, and let's go right directly to Teddy Bruschi. Teddy, you understand the dynamics of that coach and that franchise better than anyone. What did yesterday mean for the New England Patriots?
It meant that Bill Belichick is who he is. And what I mean by that is that he tells his players in team meetings, I don't care what you've done in the past. If you've been all pro, if you've been a Pro Bowl, MVP of the league, Super Bowl champion, it just doesn't matter. He's going to bring in competition. And if you lose that competition, he will put in that younger player. Now, players have heard that over and over, and players have seen that done for two decades there. When there's a player that is just better for the team, Bill will make the move. This is a gutsy call. I didn't expect the release of Cam Newton. I actually thought Cam Newton would start the year and give Mac Jones a little bit more time. But this is just validates what he says to the players, to anyone that covers him, that Bill says competition, and he means it. And Mac Jones, judging by what he did in practice, preseason games, he won the job. He was the better quarterback for the team, and now he's going to start the season.
Look, I feel like I have to ask this at the risk of sounding like we're getting premature. You were there once upon a time when the 199th pick in the draft came in and became the Patriots' starting quarterback, a fellow by the name of Tom Brady. As you watch the beginning of Mac Jones' career and the way they are playing with him on the field, does it remind you of that?
It does remind me of the beginnings. And when I do that, when I say that, so it takes me to other players on the roster, like a Matthew Slater and a Devin McCourty, Hightower, Judon, James White, those type of players that they are the established leaders of the team. I think Mac needs to think one thing most importantly is that he doesn't have to be the unquestioned voice of the offense now. There are plenty of leaders on this team that'll carry that load, that'll carry that weight. He just has to go out there and do his job. Now, in terms of how it looks, you are going to see similarities to this offense of when Tom Brady ran this offense. They are turning the page on Tom Brady and then opening up the Mac Jones chapter. But Josh McDaniels, the way he's developed him, the good offensive coordinator and quarterback coach that he is, has Mac Jones ready to go. And New England fans are just ecstatic to see this. And they're going to see some similarities that they're used to seeing for the last two decades.
I wish everyone could see Sam Acho nodding along vigorously as you were talking. Sam, your reaction.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised, right? We talked about this. I thought Cam would start the season. And for him not only to not start the season, but also to get released was surprising. And I know we're going to hear from Bill Belichick in a second. I'm assuming this is something where Cam was like, okay, if I'm not going to start, Bill, Can we make something happen? And Bill allowed him to be released to go and test the waters. But I think I'm excited. Like, you have to trust Bill Belichick. He has 8 rings, right? 6 as a head coach, 2 as a coordinator. So a man with 8 rings, you follow, you listen to what he says. So am I shocked? Was I surprised? Absolutely. But will the Patriots be successful with this team, this regime, and that defense and running the ball? I think the Patriots will be just fine with Mac Jones at quarterback.
We will get into Cam's future here in just a couple of minutes. But Mike T, as you and I were talking this morning, what you took away from this fascinates me. This is as much about Bill Belichick and his steadfast principles as anything.
Absolutely agree. I'm in awe of his patience and discipline. Let's go back to draft night. Obviously, they are highly convicted about Mac Jones, him being the future of the franchise. They're sitting there with the 15th pick in the draft, Greeny, and they don't move. They got half the league behind him that could leapfrog him. 4 quarterbacks have gone off the board already, and he stays there steadfast at 15. That is remarkable. I would have such a pit in my stomach if I was Coach Belichick, knowing that Brady left, won a championship, yet he stayed there at 15, got the player they wanted, and didn't give up any additional draft choices.
It's remarkable, especially when you consider that 4 spots in front of him, the Bears made that dramatic trade up. And so they were sitting there, have to sweat out 12 and 13 and 14, and then they wind up in the right place. Jeff Darlington, from the people you talk to around the league, and obviously this is a story that has so many different angles to unpack. What's the number one thing you were hearing yesterday?
The Patriots were teetering on the line of arrogance when Tom Brady left. Coming out of that building, I would hear conversations from people that basically suggested that now we can finally have a mobile quarterback in Cam Newton and we can do things that we were never able to do with Tom Brady. What I love about this decision is that it feels like they recognize and realize they are best in this situation with this type of quarterback. And I think it will really bode well for the New England Patriots. This is a team, by the way, Josh McDaniels did a wonderful job helping to groom Tom Brady into what he became. But the idea that they thought that they could go to Cam Newton and all of a sudden be a totally different offense, it's kind of like in a relationship. You know, you break up with one, you go for a completely different type of person, and then you ultimately realize at the end, maybe that's not for me. I love that the Patriots realize this is who they are, this is their identity, and this is how they're going to move forward.
Teddy, quick thought on that?
Yeah, with who they are, guys, is offensively especially, if they had a quarterback like Cam Newton and they thought that they were going to be successful with him, you would have seen the Cam Newton power running quarterback type of offense.
That's right.
I mean, but this is who Josh McDaniels is also. But all of a sudden, then they see Mac and they know how to do both sort of styles, if you will. I mean, like Acho said, I mean, I would have loved to have seen that mixture of Cam and then Mac coming in, and you still have that extra element. There were probably some other things going on, though, with the release of Cam Newton.
Well, let's get into that for a moment, because this is a story that also involves the release of a legendary player, one of the great college quarterbacks of all time, Heisman Trophy winner, league MVP. He posted on Instagram yesterday, "I really appreciate all the love and support during this time, but I must say, please don't feel sorry for me. I'm good." Jeff Darlington, I'm coming right back to you on this. What should we expect to be next for Cam Newton?
If we're using recent precedent, Greeny, it's not great. Don't forget that it took 3 months from the time that the Carolina Panthers released Cam Newton before the Patriots ultimately picked him up. He sat there on free agency, willing to play for a team, but never got one. The one thing I'd point to that makes me feel a little bit different about this, and when I talk to people in league circles, is that Cam Newton exuded a level of leadership and willingness to play the role that he ultimately did in New England to a degree that did surprise people. He showed that maybe he can be that type of teammate. Look, he's an alpha, and there were GMs that were concerned last year when I talked to them about bringing a guy like that in to compete for a starting job, knowing that he might have to play the backup role. What he did in New England, though, was show that he could be a good teammate. I think that potentially could go a long way in trying to extend his career a little bit longer.
Well, that's interesting to me because, Sam, I saw in your notes that your general thinking here is that Cam Newton might be a team starter, but he shouldn't be the backup. Why?
Yeah, Cam's not a backup quarterback. I think about all the history of, like, great quarterbacks, right? The Tom Brady's, the Peyton Manning's, the Drew Brees's. When they got into their own, even the Russell Wilson's, they're not backup quarterbacks. And so even when you get towards the tail end of your career, I look at Cam Newton, I don't see him going anywhere, wanting to go anywhere to be a backup. Now, Jeff, you said, hey, the history isn't so great when it comes to football, but we have to understand is that there's life after football. Look at Teddy Bruschi, right? Teddy's won 3 rings. I used to cheer on Teddy when I was in high school and in college, not trying to age you, but I would cheer you on. And now look at you, you're doing your thing. You're on TV, you're having fun, right? And so I think that we think that football is the be all end all. And I'm a prime example. You can finish a career and go into something just as good, if not better. So I have no worries about Cam outside of football, but I don't believe he should go somewhere and be a backup quarterback. That's just not who he is.
I get what you're saying, but it sounds to me like
let me just say this. Cam was loved in New England. I mean, in terms of the coaches loved who he was. They loved his attitude. He was loved among his teammates. He was a great teammate, like you're saying. Now, his future, I don't worry about him, like you're saying, if football ends, but it very well may end because I don't know what organization is going to want to take the risk for an unvaccinated quarterback. And you see everything that's going on in terms of unvaccinated players and the 5-day close contact rules, how difficult it is to have that. Do you want that as your starting quarterback? I have no political views on the vaccination. You want to get it cool. You don't want to get it cool. But the NFL makes it extremely hard, especially if you have that quarterback position. I mean, you have to make sure that they're going to be available for 17 games.
That's one of many factors in this. But Sam, let me circle back to you really quickly. It sounds to me, none of us are worried about Cam's future after football. He's made a lot of money. He's got endless options. He's a superstar with enormous charisma. But it sounds to me like you're already talking about life after football. Do you think he has played his last game?
I do. I really do. Like, I don't see him going, like people talk about Dallas. Maybe he should go to Dallas and go back up Dak. I don't think that makes sense. Why would you go somewhere when you're Cam Newton to be a backup? When you're a backup quarterback, that's okay. You go, have a long career. But you don't go to Dallas, don't go to Tennessee. I don't see him going anywhere to go back up. I don't see him wanting to go anywhere
Houston.
To go be a backup quarterback. The season's on its way to begin. Where he's going to go and be a starter, I don't see it.
Let me get Mike T in this. If you were an active general manager right now, Mike, what would you be thinking about Cam?
I would try to sign him. He's one of the 40 best quarterbacks on the planet. Maybe he's not a starter. I agree with Teddy. The vaccination issue complicates things because you don't know when he'll be ready to go. But clearly, when you think about New Orleans, Atlanta with their injury with McCarron, Dallas, he is much better than some of these other backups. And I agree, he's really well thought of in terms of how he handled things. So I would work through the vaccination issue, Greeny, and still try to sign him.
Okay, as we speak, Bill Belichick is meeting with the media. We don't have the right to show it to you live, but the minute he finishes, we will bring you immediately what it is that he said about this decision. It is his first time commenting since the moves were announced yesterday. In the meantime, my question for you today, my poll question, which is brought to you by ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire, is up on my Twitter page right now, at ESPN Greeny. Which team do you think should sign Cam right now? The Cowboys, the Texans, the Washington football team, his old coach Ron Rivera, the Falcons, who as Mike T just mentioned had an injury at quarterback. Let us know what you think. Cast your vote on Twitter at ESPN Greeny. Meanwhile, in addition to Bill Belichick, coming up, not everyone thinks the Bears made a big mistake when it comes to Justin Fields. Are they right in their decision to go with Dalton? We'll talk about it then. Is anyone under more pressure than the quarterback in Miami? An unusual declaration from a head coach that has everybody talking. You'll hear it next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by Marvel Studios' Shang-Chi and the Legend of Ten Rings in theaters this Friday. All right, Bill Belichick is meeting the media right now. We will turn that around for you as quickly as we can. In the meantime, Teddy Bruschi, let's do Teddy Set Go. We haven't talked to you in a while. Who should the starting quarterback be for the 49ers?
Okay, Granny, good to be back. Let's start with this San Francisco 49er quarterback thing. I'm going to go with Jimmy Garoppolo. You can feel the excitement from Trey Lance. You can feel how the fans want to see him, but Jimmy G gets it done when he's healthy. Now, that's a statement. When he's healthy, that's scary, yes, but 28 points a game when he's out there starting for the San Francisco 49ers. Let's give the time, give the young kid a little bit of time, pump the brakes on it. Let's see what Jimmy G can do first. I'm going with Garoppolo.
Love it. All right, who has the edge in the AFC North?
Been a lot of good teams, Greeny, the Steelers and Ravens, of course, up-and-comers in the Bengals, but I'm going to go with Cleveland. I just think it's time. And I think the one thing they need to realize is that that quarterback position in Baker Mayfield is that you don't have to be great. You only got to be good. So don't try to play hero ball out there. You got a team that you can just be a complimentary piece. Go ahead and let Chubb ball, let the defense do what they got to do. I'm going with the Cleveland Browns.
I like it. And then finally, the hot button topic in the league. Are the Bears making a mistake going with Andy Dalton over Justin Fields?
I'm going to say no, not a mistake. It's coming, people. This is the whole young quarterback thing that the head coach is used to over there in Kansas City, okay? He saw Patrick Mahomes sit for a year. He wants to give Fields as much time as he possibly can. And you've got Dalton that can possibly give you a month at least of possibly a 2-2 record, maybe a 3-1 record. And then Justin Fields can look and learn and do scout team and learn in the classroom, which is very valuable from a quarterback, especially a young quarterback. So I'm saying no, it's not a mistake. Start the redhead.
So this is interesting to me. And Mike T, I see you shaking your head. And Jeff Saturday was impassioned on this show the other day saying, if I'm a player in that locker room and I believe that the rookie is a better option, gives us a better chance to win, I am furious that they're not playing him because of some long-term consideration. So, Teddy, I see you laughing. Like, what? How do you respond to that? Because that specifically seems to be what I'm hearing from a lot of my players.
Yeah, players are emotional people, aren't they?
Yeah. Yes, they are.
I think it's just that, I mean, you also got to look at, is he set up for success? All right, is you play, I believe it's the Rams. You play the Rams week one.
They do.
I mean, is he
Correct.
Ready for that? I mean, is his offensive line ready for that? I mean, does Jason Peters, who they just signed, need a little bit more time to get his feet back underneath him as a left tackle for that team? There's a lot of things to consider in the development of a player that is so important, okay? And Nagy's seen the model before, and all he's doing is following it, and I understand.
It's an interesting start to their schedule, as you see, with a sprinkling there of games you figure they should win, and then others where they will be a significant underdog. Mike T, what do you think?
Yeah, I disagree with Teddy. I would start Justin Fields, and I agree with Jeff Saturday. The players know he gives them the best chance to win. We go back to 2009. Mark Sanchez started from day one. He was not perfect, but we ran the ball, played good defense. Next thing we know, we're in the AFC Championship game. This is a team that was in the playoffs a year ago. They have a really good defense, and when you make decisions as a head coach or a GM, the locker room is your checks and balances, and they know, and it's not even close. There is a massive difference in talent between Justin Fields and Andy Dalton, and the fact that the offensive line isn't good would make it even an easier decision to play Justin Fields because he's such a better athlete. So it's not going to be perfect. They're going to be growing pains, but he gives them the best chance to win short-term and long-term.
Well, Sam, let me come to you.
I remember that offensive line in New York you guys had. That offensive line
well,
is
we had
good
to block
now.
You, Teddy.
That's true. I mean, that is true. That had DeBrickashaw Ferguson, and it had our buddy Damian Woody, and a bunch of other, Nick Mangold, and a bunch of other guys on that line.
Teddy said he's got receipts, Mike T. Teddy's got receipts, and the Bears don't have those kind of receipts. I get what it's like to be a player in that locker room. I was a player in that locker room under Matt Nagy, so I understand the urgency that you have as a player to want to win right now. But as a coach, as Matt Nagy, people are saying, well, maybe we can't trust him. But as a coach, you want not only your team's best interest for now, but also for later. The first quarter of the season, we talked about it. Rams, Bengals, Browns, Lions, Raiders. I think Andy Dalton can get you through the first quarter of the season. The second quarter is when that buzzsaw happens. You got the 49ers in there. You got Tampa Bay in there. You got Green Bay in there. That's really going to be the true test for Chicago. And so I think Chicago is making the right decision in starting with Andy Dalton. They can get you whether it's 3-1 or 3-2 that first quarter. And then the real test comes with that second part of the first half of the season. At that point, I think you'll know who your quarterback needs to be. Yes, as a player, you're excited about a young superstar, but also you have to trust the process. Matt Nagy has a process. I've seen it happen with Mitch Trubisky when Mike Glennon was a quarterback, and we on that team were saying, man, get Mike out of there, throw Mitch in there. The fans were booing Mike and cheering on Mitch, and then we see what happens with Mitch in Chicago. So even if you're an emotional player or a fan, I've talked to so many fans who are saying, man, I want to see Justin Fields. I want to see him in there, but these fans in Chicago, they don't only remember Chicago football. They remember baseball, too. They're like, man, but we did that with Kerry Wood, with the Cubs. Man, he had all these strikeouts. We wanted to put him in. And all of a sudden, he wasn't the starter that we all expected him to be. And so I think everyone needs to exhibit a little bit of patience here.
Quick final thought, Teddy. Go.
I just think that Fields, it's a matter of time. It's going to be a matter of time. And he can use just a little bit more time to watch and learn.
All right, I'm being told that Bill Belichick has just wrapped up his comments. We will take a short break. We'll come back and you will hear exactly for the first time what Bill Belichick said in explaining the decisions to release Cam Newton and name Mac Jones his starter. You'll hear it directly from him next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and just moments ago, Bill Belichick, for the first time, explaining his decisions of yesterday to release Cam Newton and start Mac Jones. Here's what he said.
Bill, why was releasing Cam in the best interest of the team?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's our decision. And, you know, I mean, we've had, you know, weeks of meetings on all players, so it'd be impossible to, you know, rehash everything that happened at that position or any other position. But, you know, ultimately there's a lot of factors that are involved, and we made our decisions.
Next question, George Blechty, followed by Ben Volan.
Bill, when did Mac earn the job, and for you, what solidified him earning it?
Yeah, again, I'm not going to go into details of decisions and the timing and all that. I mean, we'd be here forever, so... You know, it's a process. It was, you know, very competitive situation at that position. And, you know, both players took, you know, pretty close to an equal number of repetitions in total, you know, between practice games going all the way back to the spring. So that's what it was.
Did Cam's vaccination status have anything to do with him being released?
No. No, I mean, look, you guys keep talking about that. And, you know, I would just point out that I don't know what the number is. I mean, you guys can look it up. You have the access to a lot of information. But, the number of players and coaches and staff members that have, been infected by COVID in this training camp who have been vaccinated is a pretty high number. So I wouldn't lose sight of that.
Interesting that that's the one thing he chose to expound upon a little bit. Teddy, I see the wry smile on your face. Yeah. What is your reaction to what we just heard from Bill?
The thing we got to react to is what he said about the vaccination process. And he said what he was supposed to say, okay? And the bottom line here for unvaccinated players is that there's just different rules, okay, than vaccinated players. So if a vaccinated player gets COVID or is a close contact, it's different than if an unvaccinated player gets COVID or is a close contact. And it has to be considered because the rules are so different in terms of, I think it's the 5-day, they call it quarantine, how you have to be separated from the team. And just remember this, this can happen within a test, when a player enters the building. Okay, or an information has come out, you get information of it being a close contact, so it can boom, all of a sudden that player's gone. Like, you're not even getting treatment and all that stuff. You are gone and eliminated. So for any head coach and organization, it has to be considered because of the rules that the NFL now has.
Fair enough. And so that was Mike Reese we heard ask that question and his reaction. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I was just going to say, it is perfectly, to Teddy's point, it is perfectly within Bill Belichick's right to not use the vaccination as a consideration to release Cam Newton, but it does require expounding on the fact that this does impact unvaccinated players more than vaccinated players. What he's saying there is not the full explanation of this. And the perfect example is sort of what Teddy was just saying there. If you have a starting quarterback who's in the room and he is a vaccinated player, and he tests positive, which obviously can happen. If he's in the meeting room with the unvaccinated backup quarterback, that unvaccinated backup quarterback now has to quarantine for 5 days. So if this happens on a Wednesday, not only do you have your starter out, but you have your backup out as well. So it's not about the vaccination working or not working. It's about the rules that are in place that could potentially take your backup quarterback out of play at the same time that your starter goes out.
Right. The one person that you need at the exact moment that you need him would automatically become unavailable. That is unquestionable. Go ahead, Mike T.
Yeah, agree. Just to move this story forward, if I'm representing Cam Newton, the story we're having this morning is, look, to give yourself the best chance to be employed, go get vaccinated. This is not a political issue, but I've been there, Greeny. If you have two comparable players and one player has a torn meniscus that isn't acting up and you have another player that's completely healthy, you're going with the completely healthy player. So you want to give yourself the benefit of the doubt. And Jeff makes a great point, which is you're signing the player for his availability. So Coach Belichick, I understand where he was coming from, but it has to be a factor. And that's why, presumably, if they re-sign Brian Hoyer, his presumably to be more available has to be a factor in being who's the backup for your team, because you can't lose two quarterbacks within 5 days.
We can't ignore the vaccination element in all of this. It is obviously an important piece of the puzzle in this case and throughout the NFL, and will be all season long. Meanwhile, beyond that, Teddy, from whatever little Bill Belichick was willing to say about this decision, and it was extraordinarily little, what did you take away from it?
That I'll do a little interpretation here, okay, where he doesn't want to talk about how Mac just won the competition, okay, and Mac Jones is something that, okay, there are two words that the New England Patriots despise when it comes to a player, and those two words are error repeater, okay? If you are an error repeater, it's either you don't know or you don't care, and they're going to get you out of there. That's what Mac Jones did the best of showing this preseason and offseason, whatever it was, in meetings also, that he makes a mistake, they go to him with the solution and the answer, and they'll script a play to where he's seeing that same defense on the field and in that practice rep. Does he get it right then? And the answer was consistently yes. Mac Jones is not an error repeater. That is a big reason why he won that job.
And Mike T, again, you have worked with Bill in the past. I have repeatedly pointed out you have saunaed with the man. So there's a level of intimacy there as well. What did you take away from beyond the vaccination piece of this? What did you take away from the rest of what he said about the decision?
Yeah, it comes down to how do we control the game and win? They can control the game with a great offensive line, great running backs, and a quarterback, to Teddy's point, that doesn't make mistakes. So Bill is going to take everything into account from the day they walk into the building. But I'm telling you, I've been in meetings with him. He knows that they have a much better team than a year ago. And if every drive ends in a kick, field goal, extra point, or a punt, they're going to win a lot of games and compete in the AFC East. And he basically, I'm sure, wanted to say more, but he was being respectful of Cam Newton. But Mac Jones, make no mistake about it, earned it from day one.
And Jeff Darlington, your reaction to that piece of it?
I mean, I think this is this. I feel like I feel like the Patriots last year was an outlier in terms of just the Cam Newton thing. Belichick being like overly friendly about Cam Newton. For some reason, I'm refreshed by this. Like, I'm just refreshed by hearing Bill Belichick going back to being the NFL's enemy. It just feels like all is back to being right in the world, to be honest.
And depending on your perspective, all is either about to become right again or wrong again. But Jeff Saturday on this show the other day, Teddy, said as he has watched what the Patriots are doing there with all the players they've brought in and the style that they're going to, and now going to this quarterback who wears the number 10, but he kind of looks a lot like the guy who wore the number 12. Jeff said, buckle up here, everybody, because this looks a lot like something we've seen in the past. Does it look like that to you?
It does, and we talk about other quarterback situations, right, and comparable to the one in Chicago, like Andy Dalton. What do I say? Andy Dalton's going to buy time so Justin Fields can learn. Jimmy Garoppolo, buy a little time for Trey Lance to learn. Now, Mac is, boom, he's the starter right now. What's going to buy time for him is that offensive line in the, and that running game and a defense that is night and day better than what it was last year. The return of Hightower, the signing of players like Judon and Mills. I mean, it's just a better team. So that team will be buying Mac Jones time where he can just hand it off, play action pass, put him in, keep him in close games, which is utterly important for Mac. So that's what this team is going to be. That's what this team is going to be going forward. And as Mac Jones gets better, this team in New England can surprise a lot of people.
The surprise would mean this to me, Mike T. The whole world has basically given that division to the Buffalo Bills. Is that reasonable, or is New England now a real threat?
I think New England's a real threat because you have a young quarterback, in my opinion, that will be part of the solution in terms of they're going to marry the run game to the pass game. They will play games close, and I think they will be up there with Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills, because of a smart offense and a much better defense, including some multiple pass rushers that they didn't have a year ago. So this is going to be an interesting division. I think it's those two teams and then draw a line.
All right, everybody, hold that thought for a moment. We have much more football as we continue. But I need to get you to the baseball controversy of the season and the crazy way it all went down yesterday. You've seen this by now. Javier Baez, Francisco Lindor giving Mets fans the thumbs down gestures during Sunday's game. Well, before yesterday's afternoon game, the two stars apologized. Let's start with that.
I didn't say defense are bad. Like, I love defense, but, like, I just feel like we were alone. Like, the fans wants to win, and like, they pay our salary, like everybody says, but, like, we want to win, too. Like, and the frustration got to us, and I didn't mean to offend anybody, and if I offend anybody, you know, we apologize.
Thumbs down for me means adversity, the adversity we have gone through. However, it was wrong, and I apologize to whoever I offended.
All right, so that's how the day started. Then they played the resumption of a suspended game from April. Javier Baez wasn't on the team in April, but he came to pinch hit in the eighth inning, and here's how he was greeted. It's just incredible. And then because this is sports, he gets hit by a pitch and goes to first base. And now the fans are giving him the thumbs up. And then this happens. Ninth inning. Mets are down 5-3. There are two outs. Baez is up with runners at second and third. He has to beat this out or the game is over. and he does. So a run scores on the play. The fans give that the thumbs up. The Mets cut it to 5-4. And then the next batter, Michael Conforto, is at the plate. That's a base hit. Pete Alonso will score the tying run. But wait, the ball is bobbled in left field. There's no way in the world Javi Baez is going to score a walk-off winning run, is he? Yes, he is. That's how this day ends. Lindor and Baez in celebration of the win. Mets walk it off with a 6-5 win. By the way, they won the nightcap of a day-night doubleheader as well. So all's well that ends well with thumbs up in Queens. Meanwhile, speaking of Queens, the 53rd U.S. Open continues today on ESPN and ESPN+. Noon Eastern, we'll have Coco Gauff and Sloane Stephens. That's a great match in the second round that continues on ESPN2, 6 Eastern. As always, you can watch every point streaming live on ESPN+, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Coming up, the pressure mounts on another young Alabama quarterback. Why did Miami's coach say what he said yesterday? We've got that story next.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We are back on Get Up, and yesterday afternoon, our Jeff Darlington reported the following on Twitter. He said, I'm told Dolphins coach Brian Flores just addressed his team regarding recent reports tying Miami to a possible trade for Deshaun Watson. Sources say he told players and staff that Tua is, quote, our quarterback, in a brief but poignant endorsement of the QB. So that is both an exceptional description of the circumstances and of the situation. So, Jeff, let me come immediately to you. What is it that the fans need to know about this?
Well, it's important to note here, Greeny, that what happened yesterday is not necessarily trying to dispute any of the reports that came out previous to this that tied the Dolphins to a trade with Deshaun Watson. Instead, to me, this is just about the moment. This is about Brian Flores walking into a room, looking at his players, not in a press conference, not trying to figure out the right words to use with the media, but instead looking his players in the eyes and saying, Tua Tagovailoa is our quarterback. So to me, what this says, based on my conversations, is that Tua is going to get every opportunity in this season to prove his value. At that point, Flores and Chris Greer, the general manager, will make their evaluations. Does it mean that Deshaun Watson won't end up in a Dolphins uniform at some time? Who knows? I'm not saying that. I'm saying that right now, Flores walked into that team meeting and said to his team that Tua Tagovailoa is our guy moving forward.
All right, so the coach says this is our guy. Teddy, what do you take from that?
I guess from that, I'd give Tua a little piece of advice in terms of NFL experience. He's still young, and that is a great endorsement. You know, players can see that, and Tua can take that also. But I would say Tua, I would add two words to the end of that statement, and that's for now. And I say that because that's just the way it is. And I think Tua needs to have that mentality that he is on the hot seat. They do have interest. They have pursued it. I mean, you've got to consider it all. Whether it be true or not, that's just how you should consider your job, especially at the quarterback position where they're always trying to upgrade. So great endorsement by B-Flo, but B-Flo knows the business too because it can change. And the NFL truth, one thing you say on a Tuesday can change on a Wednesday. And I think that's the way Tua needs to approach his job.
I wish everyone could see this. Cindy, our director, Cindy Morella, I'm not directing the show, but can you give us this camera over here, the jib? Because Sam Acho is nodding, and go ahead. You reacted very strongly.
Well, so like before, Teddy, you said for now. I was with you saying for now. I've seen it happen before. Back in 2018 when I was with the Chicago Bears, man. Coach Nagy had a team meeting, and there was all this circulation and speculation about will we sign Khalil Mack. There was rumors everywhere. He brought in about 15 of the players in the preseason to a meeting. We're sitting there like, man, what is going on? These are like star players or starters of the team. And he says, hey guys, and we're waiting, sitting, what's going to happen? He says, hey, I'm just letting you know you guys aren't going to play in these last few games of the preseason. And we said, oh, okay, great. We kind of like laughed, sheepishly, we said, we thought you were going to, you know, announce that. Danny Trevathan actually said, we thought you were going to announce you're going to trade all 15 of us for Khalil Mack, right? That was kind of the joke. And all of a sudden, Matt Nagy looks left, looks right, and kind of like, and leans back. 2 weeks later, Khalil Mack traded to the Chicago Bears. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you know, things change in an instant. And so, yes, Tua is our quarterback for now. And that's not just for Tua. That's for every player in the NFL. They're always looking to upgrade.
Yeah, not for long is what those letters could stand for. Mike T, quick thought.
Yeah, Tua has to convince his teammates that he's the guy. Coach Parcells always talked about that Phil Sims was a great quarterback and the leader of that team when he threw four interceptions, came out the following Wednesday, and was still respected by his teammates, and they knew that he could get him to where they wanted to go. So ultimately, it's not what Coach Flores says. It's about the belief that his teammates have that Tua can win the division and take them deep into the playoffs.
It's remarkable how little time he's had there and the circumstances he's been under and how much pressure there seems to be on him to deliver immediately. So hold that thought. Let's talk about Alabama, but in a different way, because this is a monster college weekend. And look at the lineup that we have of games coming up. And we've got them all, including top-ranked Alabama and 14th-ranked Miami. They'll play Saturday afternoon on ABC. It's their first meeting since the Sugar Bowl in 93. Alabama leads that series 14-3. Then Georgia, Clemson, Saturday night on ABC. According to the Allstate playoff predictor, this is projected to have the highest impact on the playoff field of any game all season long. And then Sunday night, we got Notre Dame and Florida State on ABC. All eyes will be on Notre Dame quarterback Jack Cohn, the Wisconsin transfer who's taking over for Ian Book. So let's dive into this. Heather and Paul are ready to go here. The legendary Paul Feinbaum, Heather Dinich, and Sam Acho as we look at these. Heather, let me start with you on this Alabama-Miami game. The Bama's a 19.5-point favorite, at least last time that I checked. Can Miami win this game? And if so, what would it mean?
I'm certainly not going to pick them to win the game, especially on national TV. But with that being said, yes, they can win it. That's why they play. It's week one. Everybody makes mistakes. There's jitters. We've got a rookie quarterback. Miami's quarterback, Derek King, can certainly give Alabama's defense problems. If they were to pull off this miracle, you're looking at the possibility of an undefeated season for Miami. Why? Because ESPN's FPI picks the Canes to win every other remaining game on their schedule. The most difficult one is a mid-October trip to North Carolina. So if somehow they can pull off this upset, look out for the Canes.
What do you think, Paul?
No miracle. Come on. There's no chance, none, that Miami is going to win this game. I understand Heather's point, and yeah, you can make that case if you want. I'm not going to. Alabama is a 19-point favorite, and they should be. Miami is a good team. They're better than they were, but forget about it. Come on, Greeny.
Sacho, you cover the college game for us. Is this Bama team as good as it was a year ago? Better?
Yeah, I think they're as good as advertised, if not better. But specifically their defense. Like, everyone's talking about Bryce Young, which we see him on the screen. But not many people, at least people on the outside, are talking about Alabama's defense. So they just got Henry To'o, transferred from Tennessee, who's a dominant defensive force. Not only that, he also is the quarterback of the defense. He's playing Mike linebacker. You move Christian Harris to Will. So, like, everyone within, like, the Alabama circles, they're not talking about their offense. They're talking about their defense and how dominant that defense will be. And I think if that defense meets Miami, that defense is going to take the win.
Now, you know that's the way Nick likes it, first and foremost. All right, now let's get to the game I just told you has the most significant playoff implications of any game all season long. Heather, as you analyze all those numbers, who needs the win more on Saturday night, Georgia or Clemson?
Georgia, 100%. And that's because if Georgia wins the East, they've got a more difficult path to win the SEC. You've got to beat likely Alabama for that SEC championship, right? So Georgia knows, just look back at 2018, two-loss team, how difficult it is. It hasn't happened. The CFP selection committee has not put a two-loss team in yet. Not saying it won't happen, but Georgia is a prime example of how difficult it is. Now, if they were to win that game, and they have a win against what could be the ACC champs in Clemson, then they could lose to Alabama in the SEC championship game, and both teams can possibly get in at Clemson's expense because of that head-to-head. Think about that. Think about that. Clemson's only loss is to Georgia. They win the ACC championship. They don't make the top four. Why? Because Alabama and Georgia are both in, and there are other Power Five conference champions who are better.
It's the best thing about the sport, that this is Labor Day weekend and we have playoff games this weekend. Paul, what do you think?
Heather and I are not going to agree that this is Wednesday. Heather, come on. I look at it completely differently. Here's why. Yes, if Georgia loses this game, their task is very difficult. However, they have a great path for this reason. They run the table, and then they beat Alabama. They're in. You can't leave them home if they have one loss, and it's at the beginning of the season, and they've just beaten the best team in the country. On the other hand, I don't know about Clemson. Let's say they lose this game, and a lot of teams go undefeated, in the Big 12 and elsewhere, and suddenly, what does Clemson have on its resume? A win over North Carolina State, maybe a win over UNC in the championship game with one or two losses. I'm not convinced they'll get in at that point. I know Heather doesn't agree. I'm sorry, Heather.
No, I think both sides of that make sense, and that's why the game means so much to both teams. Sam, there's a quick look ahead. Who do you like in this game? It's as good a game as we're going to get all year.
Yeah, Paul, it is Wednesday. Let's just make it clear. It's Wednesday today, and though I'm a Clemson fan, I'm going Georgia, so I went back and watched JT Daniels, and yes, everyone's excited about JT Daniels, and you looked at the numbers in the bowl game. You say, okay, he kind of struggled, but that Cincinnati defense that he played was phenomenal. And JT Daniels was also phenomenal. So for the first time in a long time, we're talking about Georgia's offense and JT Daniels as opposed to their defense. And so Dabo, that's my guy, all the things, but I want to see Georgia win this game.
All right, we will talk much more about this as we work our way towards what should be a monstrous weekend. Heather and Paul, thank you both. Outstanding work as always. Again, here's a look at the games that we have on Labor Day. We got Alabama, Miami. You got Georgia, Clemson. That's on ABC. Then we got Notre Dame and Florida State Sunday night, and Louisville, Ole Miss is Monday night on ESPN. All the games also available streaming live on the ESPN app, one tap. Sacho's on his way to go. Host First Take. Awesome as always, my man. We've got much more Bill Belichick here coming up. If you missed it, Bill Belichick explains his enormous decision, and Dan Orlovsky will join the party next.